Welcome to the show. Now, as your host of your favorite technology podcast, What the Tech, today I will be talking about how important it is to create a culture of choice. Now, culture is the set of values, beliefs, and behaviors that really guide how a company's employees interact with each other and actually with the outside world. It's what sets a company apart from its competitors and really defines its unique identity. A strong company culture can help to attract and retain talent, boost employee engagement, productivity, and really improve the customer satisfaction experience. Now, it can also foster a sense of community and belonging, making employees feel more connected to their work and to their colleagues. So, in short, company culture is essential to the success of any business. And answering questions like, why is it so important and how do we make our culture the best we can, is exactly what we're doing today. Today's guest is a people leader for Trion Solutions, which is a Raleigh-based software development company that's in the warehouse and management supply arena, and has actually created solutions for several of the Fortune 500. Now, with all of her experience helping working within Fortune 500 companies as well as startups, her greatest passion is creating a culture of choice, which makes Trion an incredible place to work. Now, with a dynamic background in recruiting and culture enhancement and succession planning, she's been responsible for creating and implementing Trion U, which is actually one of many proprietary training and mentorship programs she's been developing and perfected over the years. I'm so glad to welcome today's guest, Kelly Reardon Little, to the show. Thank you for being here today, Kelly.
Thanks for having me. I'm really excited.
Yeah, it's great to have you. So excited to talk about this. I think it's timely. I think you're the right person to have the conversation with. Just, you know, all the things that you've done in your career and all the things that you've got going on today. So just really excited to kind of hear your perspective and for our listeners to do the same. Now, before I kick things off in the culture arena, you know, you actually shared an interesting factoid with me that I found fascinating. And I think you know what it is, but you told me that you currently and have for many years have been dominating the gridiron in our local flag football leagues. And I've met many ladies over the years that really love the game of football. My wife is one of those people, but mostly watching, right, to be honest. But what made you decide to get out there and participate? I'd love to hear more about that and kind of what got you started.
So I love football. I eat, breathe, sleep, love football. Much more in my earlier years, of course, but just never got a chance. I am tiny, so I'm like 5 feet tall, but my personality is pretty big, and it makes me think that I can do these big things like big sports. And then why make it easy and just play with girls? Let's do co-ed and see, you know, exactly the giants that I can go after. But I have been playing volleyball, actually, for 32
right.
years. And I decided, hey, what better way to take people who never catch a ball, but are really tall and fast, and let's see what we can do about catching a ball on a field. And that's how we started a team. So
that's great.
Took them and made it happen.
What's the team name?
So it varied from season to season, but it was... do better, because we'd get in a huddle and we're like, okay, well, not going great. Let's just do better. And so that was a team and hashtag do better. And then more recently, Skyliners. And that's actually the team where I met my husband.
Nice. Nice. Mm-hmm. Well, shout out to your husband. That's fantastic. So I also have a bit of a kind of awkward icebreaker that I always like to ask, and feel free to go wherever you like with this, like have fun with it. And so I'm going to ask you a question. It's meant to be a little bit awkward,
okay.
To be completely honest with you.
Bring it on.
So let's just have a good laugh about it. So tell me something that you think is true that almost nobody agrees with. And I'm thinking like crazy stuff, Bigfoot, alien, Santa Claus, you name it.
Oh, wow. Okay. That nobody could probably, wow. So it's a very strange fact, but not like, you know, I don't think anybody would believe this about me because I have jumped out of airplanes. I have surfed with sharks. I have jumped off of a 60-foot cliff into a lake, not sure if it was deep enough. I love thrill kind of things. I want to bungee jump and do all these things, but absolutely terrified of opening a can of biscuits.
That's
anything
great.
that pops, I cannot actually do that. So yes, I know that that's so silly, but maybe and maybe not what you're looking for, but that's one of the
No,
goofy
that's even
things
more
that
obscure and funny than I thought. That's great.
yeah, I absolutely will ask. And popping champagne bottles, I will absolutely ask somebody, like, I can't do
Just not
this, like,
happening,
help
huh?
me.
You just have like you just won't do it, or do you just have a reaction to it because you just it, the anticipation just messes you up?
I think it is the anticipation, but I actually watched my roommate do it one time, and she took like the, a tablespoon, a metal tablespoon, and like the biscuit, can just like a little, and she went to go put pressure on it, and the spoon came up, hit her in the eye, and went
Oh.
flying. And I was like, nope, never again.
There's
Nope.
a story to it. Okay, that makes a little more
There
sense.
it
Yeah.
is.
So,
Will
did
not
you
do
help
it.
her like with unlodging the spoon out of her eye
So it didn't get stuck. It
or? Okay.
definitely did some damage. She had
Yeah.
to go to the eye doctor. Yeah, and it
Oh,
was just like,
jeez.
nope, net black eye for days. And
Oh, man.
that I was already afraid of the pop, but then watching that, I was like, nope, never. I will
Never.
take the sharks.
Never.
Absolutely.
Sharks any day
Yes.
over the spoon in the
Any
pop.
day. It says I will surf with some sharks, no problem. Yep.
Oh, that's going to be the theme of our entire conversation. I'd rather surf with sharks than open a can of biscuits.
That's basically it. It should be a t-shirt. I'd buy it. Yeah.
That's right. That's
Yeah.
right. Well, let's make
So,
that happen.
yeah,
All
bring it on.
right. So, the topic of culture, for
Yes.
those of you that are listening and have really no idea what a culture of choice means, and honestly, I think you could go a lot of different directions with it. I think we're all most interested in hearing what does Kelly believe a culture of choice looks like. So can you put some context around that for us?
Sure. So, we spend a lot of our time with coworkers. Now,
Yep.
with recent, issues globally with a pandemic and whatnot, and some, political craziness, people have pretty much been at home and realized that remote working is a thing, right? And yet you still have to collaborate with these people that you call teammates, coworkers, whatever it is, maybe even friends. And you're with them 8+ hours a day.
Right.
There has to be some kind of motivation intrinsic that makes you want to get up and do what it is that you do every day. Not only do you have to love what you're doing to make that not feel like a job or a chore or just a duty, but I think it's important to like the environment. Do you get to be authentic at work? Do you get to be your genuine self? Of course, within reason, right? Or do you have to put on this facade that is totally against your grain? And I think that that over time wears on people, and everybody's got their limit. As far as a culture of choice, it's really cool when you get out of school or get out of your trade or whatever, and you're ready to start and you're making money. And then somebody tosses a lot of money at you. I don't know that when you're 21, 22, you realize necessarily that that could be a red flag that you might hate getting up every single day and having to do what you're about to do.
More money
Or
sounds wonderful. I don't know what you're talking about.
exactly that dangling carrot. And then you're just like, oh, but I'm traveling 80% of the time. Do you like airport food? First of all, it's three times as much and tastes terrible. Do you like not being able to give feedback or collaborate openly? Do you
Okay.
feel like you're walking on eggshells? Those are probably things that go with big companies that make you feel like a cog. And for me, after I realized a couple things in my younger years, I thought that there are those intangible items that I need out of my career, not just a job. Because you don't plan on being there for a while, but the path that you're actually going to walk, right? And so being a culture of choice is something different for everybody, in my opinion. For me, it's I get to balance my life. We talk about work-life balance. Here we call it life-work harmony.
Okay.
These two aspects of our life that consume us, right? Life is happening on a personal level regularly. Work is a tremendous amount of our days. They have to coincide, and one must be flexible for the other, right? And that's where that concept originally was balance, but we say harmony because they can go side by side as well. Later this afternoon, I have a 3 p.m. meeting, and my daughter will likely make an appearance. You know, COVID kind of changed things where your little one kind of comes up and everybody's like, oh, hi. and I like working in a place where they're like, yeah, do what you got to do. I'm like, cool, because I'm going to go volunteer today in her classroom. And I get to do that. It's different for everybody, but that life-work harmony is very important here. And there are several folks at Chion who have been offered lots and lots of money, but they don't want to get lost in a big machine as a cog. They value their time here. So
yeah, I don't know that you can separate work and life, right? The way that I think we've been forced to over the years. And, you know, there's worse culprits than others.
Yes.
But, you know, I put a post out on LinkedIn last week, and it was the question was like, do you, you know, should LinkedIn be used for personal posts, right?
And I saw.
Like, there was a resounding yes, and there was a resounding no, and they were like dead, like in a dead heat. Like it was like 40%, almost 40% for both. And it was interesting to hear people's perspective on both sides of the aisle. Got a lot of whatever on it. And I think there's got to be a balance for those people that it's important that, you know, their life not be consumed by work, or, you know, the other way around. I think it's important to have kind of, you know, a culture of choice, something out there for everybody, because, I mean, people are going to be workaholics and they want to, you know, go to work to avoid the other things going on in their life. And I guess there's a place for them, just like there's a place for you and I that we want to be involved with our families. And, you know, in your case, you want to, you know, go to school with your daughter and spend a little time with her. I think that's really important. So I love that perspective. So what are some of the things that you're doing there at Chion specifically that may be a little bit counterintuitive or different than you might see based on your experience in Fortune 500 companies?
Sure, sure. So yeah, I have worked for Fortune 500s, and then I've worked for startups. And my bread and butter, I think, is in this small medium arena.
Right.
I love the ability to influence immediately and directly, the flexibility that a smaller organization can have. So when we have a good idea and we're all in line with that, then we make things happen quite quickly. So I love the autonomy. Of course, everybody talks about that, but I'm like, yeah, but how quickly can you do things? This wall behind me is shared with our CEO, and that I have worn a path in the carpet, I am fairly certain.
It just curves the corner. Just
yeah, it just curves. And you're just like, what happened to the carpet here? I'm like, don't mention it. Yeah, no.
and that's work being done.
Yeah, that is work being done, because I'm like, hey, I found this, this, and this. I really think we should move with this because there's really not a better fit for us. Here's this. This is what it costs. He's like, okay, make it happen. Literally in 5 minutes, he cannot change his mind because I've made it happen. So he's got a short window and he knows that now. But here at Chion, they already had a very rich culture of people who liked each other. That was strange, right? I came from a culture where most people liked each other. We removed toxicity and negativity quite quickly and easily because it didn't suit the culture. And it would make those folks even more miserable to be here when they're not fitting, right? So it's fair for them as well. But I think to speak on Chion's behalf, we've had to go remote first, even before COVID and the world went a little crazy a couple years ago. The talent is very rare in this niche industry in which we operate. So we've got to find the best of the best wherever we can, kind of globally even. And that means that you might get hired and never meet your boss face to face for like a good while until we can have another in-person company meeting, which then of course gets interrupted by a global pandemic. So it could be years since you've met your boss or a hiring manager face to face. What we've done here is a couple different things. First of all, I think that you have to be deliberate when it comes to your culture. deliberate about anything that you are passionate about that makes up your company and makes it good. It can't just go, well, we have beer, you know, on Fridays, and that's really great. And I'm just like, first of all, kind of a little bit of an HR nightmare, although we're lax, you know, but it could be, if not handled properly, right? Mm-hmm. Always being deliberate about your expectations, always being deliberate about what are we building our policies around? What are we incentivizing? What do we do with our bonus structures? What's the behavior that we're looking for? We don't want people to be working on the weekends if we can help it. So why would I incentivize you with extra bonus to work weekends? That's not how it goes here. Mm-hmm. Why? There's no points for not using your unlimited PTO. So I just went to a conference for all of North Carolina and some surrounding states. It was in Charlotte a couple weeks ago. And I found out that 12% of their polled folks, which is hundreds of organizations, offer unlimited PTO. And my mind was blown. I thought that number was higher. So I'm spoiled rotten, I realize. And I think that's an innovation that certainly some folks and industries can't adapt to, but they can embrace different variations of that. So that is something that Trian does that is unique. Our values and mission and vision, which I think are important, all came from intrinsic things that everyone believed here, rather than a CEO telling you, hey, this is how it's going to be, right? We believe in authenticity. We believe in making time for, you know, what's important. We believe in, you know, whatever it is. It's not rammed down your throat here. These are things that already exist that we pride ourselves on. So I think that there's something that exists in the spirit of your people. And if you know what that is and can help it grow because it's a positive thing for you, mm-hmm. that's where you start. So
what do you think are the specific components of a good culture? Kind of maybe taking that a little bit farther.
Sure. Transparency. Okay. You have to have leadership and your C-suite agree on a certain level of transparency. And how do we keep in touch with folks and make sure that they're plugged in? I always want to be proactive and want my company to be proactive about communication. Communication in our personal lives is one of the biggest flaws in most human beings, right? Like, even if right. you do communicate or even over communicate, it can be done wrong, or the perception or the mood of the person that you're communicating with is highly dependent upon the words that you use, the tone that you use, and they still could misinterpret it. So why is that any less important at a company? So transparency and communication, I think, are foundational in a lot of different arenas, and that can span any industry. Additionally, how often am I shooting you up every week and going, hey, we need a meeting? God, no, please. I have a mug somewhere that says in another meeting that could have been an email. And that doesn't apply here, so thank goodness. But meetings are a waste of time sometimes. And so we can't have meetings for the sake of meetings. So when is it important? When can people attend? Who's your audience? Always remembering them. We don't get paid unless everybody's on board with what you're doing. So keeping it real, I think that's one of the foundational items as well. So drilling into that.
I'm going to add that one to my foundational cultural things. Keep it real.
Keep it real. I might be a little old school, but now I'm showing my age.
No, I like it. It's good. So how does that differ? Maybe, as you know, I work primarily within the technology field, right? Like, how does it differ mm-hmm. compared to what, you know, say a manufacturer or somebody in hospitality? Like, you know, some of the benefits of technology are obvious, right?
Yes.
You know, being in this industry, that you can have an unlimited PTO policy mm-hmm. because, you know, of course, there potentially could be abusers, but for the most part, people understand I have objectives that I have to get done. It's my choice of when those get done, as long as they're done, you know, by, you know, deadlines or things like that, right? How I do it, isn't necessarily as important.
That's right.
So maybe talk about that and contrast that for other, you know, industries that aren't in the tech field.
Sure. And I see this line a lot of times, and I love just these one-liners that sum up things, and LinkedIn is riddled with them. And yeah, I'm cheesy enough to like just eat them up. But this is perpetuating, and I don't know where it originated. So I am stealing something. I just don't know to whom to give the credit. It said, "I'm running a company, not a daycare." And I do think in a more white-collar industry like tech usually is, it has more to do with I'm hiring capable adults. Right. They understand or should understand and learn quite soon, or maybe you should have a culture open enough to that they can ask, what are the expectations? Is there something that is absolutely a priority here? How do I prioritize my day? Do you have an idea as to what that looks like? And that's where that communication and expectation item can really be that foundational piece is not a daycare. Go do your thing. If you've got to pick up your kids at 3 and you got soccer practice at 4, cool. I hate that I see an email from you at 2 a.m., but maybe that's when you're productive. I'm not going to tell you when you're productive. Make it happen. If you make a commitment, there's a deep respect here, and it should be in most cultures, to one another, the way that we bring in work and money so that we can sustain what we're doing and what we love, and make it happen. So whatever makes Rocket go really is kind of where that respect has to lie. And I don't care when you make it go, just keep it moving. And that's a little bit easier in a tech industry environment. Absolutely. Certainly different than hospitality, where that is a 24/7, 365. What's a holiday? Nobody knows.
No, it's everybody's holiday is their, busy time, right?
That's exactly it. Hospitality and service industry, that's tough. I mean, I did that when I was in college just to pay for school, and that's a rough business. I think it should be required, actually. You should have to wait tables, bus tables, and or work in retail for at least a year of your life before you go out and venture.
Yeah, so you can appreciate the fact that those people, you know, a lot of times are making $2 an hour and that's your right. tips like really matter. And, you know, I've heard some horror stories. You know, I go to breakfast with a friend of mine every single Monday. And we always go to the Cracker Barrel. And just hearing the horror stories of how people treat these people is just, it bothers me, right? Like, you know, they do the best that they can and they're all short staffed. But anyways, yeah, that's a great point. It's different, right? Depending on where you're at and what you can do. And so, you know, make sure you're grateful and thankful to the people that do serve you.
That's right.
You know what I'm saying?
And I like that policy, like the unlimited PTO. I tell folks, even when I'm interviewing them, like, so before you've even joined our team, if we even know that you're a fit, I say, you know, we have this policy because, you know, I tell folks, don't be the reason we can't have nice things.
It sounds like you're being a parent.
Yeah, there's nothing that really, you know, says that I can't call you out on the next staff meeting. No. Don't be the reason that we can't have nice things. And I am I might be a little weird as an HR manager. I am anti-policy. Just because something happened does not mean you need to write 5 pages into the handbook. Please do not do that. In fact, scrap it, and you should have less than 30 pages for sure. And actually, that's what I'm working on currently. So
nice. Yeah, there's always something to do, right?
There is, constantly.
So culture. Do you think it really is more based on kind of the leadership, or it's simply based on the people that work there, and that it evolves over time?
Well, I think it. And I'm going to dodge your question there.
No. Hit it straight on. Like that's how we do it here.
I think it's both. Now, it starts, that might be a chicken and an egg thing. So maybe that's why I can't be as direct. I'll hit it, but. it's probably both. In HR, I have a couple of designations, and getting ready for those exams is really tough. But they teach you that buy-in from leadership, your program will fail if you don't have buy-in from leadership. If leadership doesn't like coming to work, your culture might be a little cringy. How do you change leadership? Well, that can be very hard. And I think I'm going to go ahead and say it. I think tech looks at, especially if you work with a lot of smart folks, not here, of course. I had to earn a little respect, but they're very kind here, and I am spoiled as an HR manager. But in general, my experience is not the HR lady again. What does she know? She's not even useful. I can find the benefit info on my own.
No.
Yeah, it's a rough life. No, it's a rough life. But they're really great here. They're like, okay, what's she got now? And then they'll come and you know, try a program or come to my meeting or come to my info session. And that is not common. That is not common. So once you wedge your foot in the door that is probably slamming in your face, and as far as leadership might go, not here. But it does happen, especially in big corporations. I mean, you got to burst in there like the Kool-Aid man and just be like, I am here.
Hey.
Hear me? Yes, that's right. And
that might have been Fat Albert. I'm sorry.
That might be it.
That's right. Yeah.
I had to think about it. Yeah. But I mean, I'm coming through the wall if you won't let me through that door. So, one time I did have to say, and this is maybe a little poor taste, but I need rope from you guys. And they're like, rope? And I was like, yes. I said, either I'm going to help tow something in the right direction with the rope that you're going to give me, so this represents a chance, or I'm going to hang myself with it and you can fire me. And I've literally had to say those things before. Sometimes you have to get extreme, but remember, they can still fire you. So,
yeah,
I mean, it's a real thing. How risky do you want to get? Yeah. So leadership has to be able to support it, because if one whisper goes, it's the HR lady again, just do what she says or ignore her or whatever, I've lost. Mm. And then the people already have their culture, but do you have a positive one? Do you have some people who cause a little bit of trouble? Is it like, you know, you've all of a sudden stepped into the movie set of Mean Girls? That's something that you have to tackle, and can be very toxic. And I've terminated people for being toxic. There is that. And I do think that that is a new movement, fairly recent in the last, I'd say 10 to 12 years. Yeah. I don't need a hardcore reason other than you are very toxic. And I do have documentation. So we don't have patience for that.
We're not doing that.
That's right. So there's somewhere for you. It is not here.
Yeah. Anywhere but here, please. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's lessons to be learned from that as well for them. You know, like, look, you know, yes. Maybe your next employer, you won't act like that. You know, it's unfortunate. You don't want to see people go.
No, but never.
Sometimes it has to happen, right?
Yeah, you have to save. We are protective of our culture here. It took a long time to build, and sometimes you're not the right fit, and that's okay too. It's okay to not fit.
It's not necessarily just an indictment, but sometimes it's not a fit.
Yeah. That's right. Yep. Absolutely.
So, what does a toxic culture look like? If we're going down that rabbit hole, like, what are some things that you've seen that you're like, if you can't be a change maker, right? Because you're not being, you know, example. I've been in sales a long time, right? Some of the most successful salespeople I've met over the years are some of the most difficult people you've ever met, right? And they're I've seen them be horrible to, like, you know, client success people and account people, and you know, and you've got a leader who relies on the revenue that person brings in, and so they just won't do what needs to be done. Have you experienced anything like that? I'm just giving you one example I've seen over and over and over.
Yeah, no, that's an excellent example. And I'm pretty sure, like any organization, you know, what do we say? Everybody's in sales, right? Everybody's a recruiter.
100%. Hey, write that down, people. Everybody's in sales. So the next time you talk to a salesperson and you're mean to them, just remember, somebody's selling something that you're servicing or you're helping with. So just remember that. Everybody's in sales.
That's exactly it. But also, everybody's a recruiter. So if, you know, your culture stinks and somebody starts spreading that rumor, that's not good for you. But I've seen it on the sales side, especially when they're like, I'm the most highly paid employee in the company, because once you add in commissions, that's pretty much it. I walk on water. There's that. One of the things that I experienced early on, that kind of clued me into, I was so naive as like a 22-year-old.
No.
Right? We know nothing. And yet we think we got it all. We've just graduated college, perhaps, or we're off to do our thing. And yeah, no, we know nothing. I worked for a law firm. I thought I wanted to go to law school. I took the LSATs and everything. And it was like people were walking on eggshells. I mentioned that earlier. And you could feel it. Nobody talked to each other in the halls. There wasn't water cooler time. It was people were afraid to speak up. And that, you know, not to pick on attorneys. I have friends who are attorneys. You get some big egos involved there. And sometimes they're at the partnership and leadership level, and they decide your fate and the fate of many others. It was, you clock in. You better not take any 30 seconds longer on your break. You better not be late for lunch. If you are, you need to tell somebody, and you better make it up that afternoon. It was so rigid, so rigid. And they had the most turnover I've ever seen at a firm of that size. And it was something like, I stayed a year and a half, and I don't even know how long I made it that length of time, because there were people that made it 2 months, and I saw six people in the same position in that year and a half. I was like, something's not right here. So rigidity, no sense of open door. We can have a conversation. No sense of the fact that we are all human and make mistakes, or that we have lives outside of work, right? You mentioned that movement from going, they used to be very separate in our culture as even just Americans. And now we're to, nah, I've got a life. The dentist is open, you know, 9:30 to 2:30, and they have an hour for lunch. When am I going to go to the dentist, right? So culture in our country and culture in our companies, I hope, changes. But that was probably the most toxic firm I've ever seen in my life. And I knew right away, I was grateful for the lesson. I'm never going to work in a place. One of my interview questions, if anybody asks me what questions I have, first of all, if they don't, I have a problem with that interview. But how's turnover here? How do people feel about coming to work? Can I talk to an ambassador? That's a good one. So I learned that.
I was a big fan of ride-alongs that I've done before, where you actually get to, you know, go with somebody who's working there, and you spend a whole day with them or whatever, and they have all these, you know, things. Even if their intention is to, you know, promote the company and say this is a great place, they'll be honest usually about some of the downfalls. And so I do think, you know, having an ambassador conversation is important. Great
we
point.
We have folks on LinkedIn where, depending on the position, if I'm hiring a recent college grad, I'll have them talk to someone who went through Try On You because they're about to go through the same program. And I will, I might assess it based on their major. So I'll put them in touch with someone that I know had a similar major. If they're more experienced, I will put them, and I'll ask them, do they like where they are, or are they looking for management opportunity? And then I'll put them in, you know, if it's the latter, I'll put them in touch with someone who did get several promotions and has worked their way up. So I even, you know, individualize the experience if they want to talk to an ambassador.
That's impressive. Let's talk about Try On You a little bit. That's kind of your brainchild, right?
It is. It is. Yeah. It existed before me, but I cannot take full credit. Okay. But we really made it more of a class, more, again, being deliberate, right? Not just saying, oh, yeah, we have a training program. Yeah, okay. No, we have a training program. We have a mascot. We have
a mascot. What's the mascot? Let's stop there for a second.
The mascot. I should have sent you a picture. Maybe I'll do that for you. It's Trailblazers, and it looks like this very mean Mustang, right? But we're getting stuff done. so it's Try On You Trailblazers.
Okay.
They actually get a Try On You alumni T-shirt when they graduate from the program.
Is that right?
That's right.
Have you guys started class reunions or anything yet?
Right. Well, it's funny because like most of them, because we do think that you get that full immersive culture experience, which is part of Try On You. We ask that no matter where we've recruited you from, that you come into Raleigh and into the office often, but it's a hybrid schedule and certainly flexible for 3 months of Try On You. and to really get a feel for the culture. Because once I send you remotely, I don't want you to feel like you're on an island. I want you to know and see around you that literally anybody is willing to help you with your questions, including the CEO and our partners. You just need to have that. Culture is an energy, and I think it's best experienced in person, even if you have a remote first workplace. So that's how we handle Try On You. It got very popular internally because our recent college grads who might have had a technical background or industrial engineer supply chain type or even business IT, as long as they had a certain technical foundation, they could springboard off that and be taught WMS implementation and supply chain solutions, which is what we do. And they learned something that was new. It's called Page Builder. And it was an item that is replacing old DDAs, right? So that's just something how the system worked, and Page Builder was replacing it. The class last summer in Try On You knew more about Page Builder than some of our more senior engineers. And when we share the syllabus, again, that transparency, and all of the senior engineers and architects were like, wait, you're doing Page Builder? I want in on that. And so we're like, okay, sure. Let's do Page Builder. And it's gone from there. So folks who are not technical, who wanted to be more of a super user so that they can, you know, take it to their operations consulting side of things, they joined Try On You. They started to learn SQL and how to program certain things. If you have a desire, we're not going to stand in your way here. So that's basically how Try On You has evolved. And we've had a more senior class experience level. And we have our recent grads every summer.
That's great.
So, yeah, I love the fact. I was there not too long ago, and you know, you had all those interns up front, and they were all working together in like a powwow circle. I thought that was really great. I'm not sure if that was part of Try On You, but I was like, there wasn't a ton of people in the office, but everybody was around each other, you know, kind of like collaborating and working. I thought that was really great. Let's dig into this a little bit. So culture, I think, is, you know, this thing that evolves from the people who are there and, you know, the ideals of leadership and the people that work there. You know, all of those things make sense. How are you leveraging, you know, systems and technology to kind of make that prevalent and kind of top of mind for people? Do you do anything that, you know, outside of, you know, maybe like get-togethers and, you know, pizza days or things like that. But like, are you leveraging any sort of platforms or systems to do some of your culture engagement?
Sure. I mean, I do think, first of all, that there is a such thing as Zoom poisoning. We do use Zoom to connect. So again, okay. I'm very spoiled here. But one of the programs that I've instituted that I would consider the rope on which I would
maybe hang yourself or pull things along.
That's right. Toe the line here is I do a tea with Kelly. And this group, when we actually have in-person company meetings, everyone is laughing and having a great time. I have never once in the 17 years that I've been doing HR had people when giving me feedback on a company event go, do we have to do like bowling or something? Like, can we just do like what we did when we went to Trophy and just hang out and mingled and had some beer? And I was like, you want to hang out? Like, like there's a concept, like you want to talk to each other. Okay. That's cool. Some people want to go golfing, go-karting, whatever. No, our folks were like, we just had the best time. I never get to spend any time with Carl or Amy or, you know,
Right.
And that was the feedback, unanimous. They're like, hey, I don't care if we do anything, but can we get together? Can we have a little bit more time in the schedule so that it's not so back-to-back with meetings? Because they do enjoy learning, and our company meetings are like that. They're like, can we get an extra long lunch? I want to go out. I want to have North Carolina barbecue. I live in Wisconsin. Like,
yeah.
And that was the feedback. And I'm like, okay, this is weird, but I like it. I like that you like each other. So I do a monthly tea with Kelly because we are remote. We're in 14 different states.
Wow.
And that spans lots of time zones just in the U.S. But then we have an India Trion Solutions India. And so they're a whole, you know, what is that, 11 hours behind us, ahead of us. I make tea once a month. It's an hour-long Zoom session where you know I will be on for this hour. It might be 9 a.m. so that certain people can join, or it might be 3 p.m. And I literally put on a little fancy like headband with a feather and everything. And I have like, I have fancy teapots in my office and I pour tea. I have people contribute their pictures from vacations, back to school pictures for kids. Like it's all, of course, seasonal, anything Easter or holiday related, like whatever it is. What are their interests and hobbies? So I hope to have our flag football team. We're going to start one here for try on soon. Actually, you want to come play?
I told you how I feel about flag football. It's so hard to like get out of that mindset of tackling people.
Please don't hit somebody.
Yeah, exactly.
No, it is. I think that's funny. But so we'll share that. As in a charity volleyball tournament, we've got folks who run marathons for charity. So we share those things. I share a recipe. I'm a big proponent of coloring for mental
coloring.
Health.
My wife loves coloring. I don't get the appeal, but she's into it. Her and her best friend, they color all the time.
Yes, do it. It is so good for your brain. So good. And especially for tech industry, because you are, they're very usually like regimented, logical. There's a rhyme or reason to everything kind of. That's one side of the brain strong, right? That's that left mm-hmm. side taking over. You need to get away from the screen. And even if it's just 10 minutes of doing these beautiful, colorful, you could be a terrible colorer. And it will do wonders for your stress level and your brain activity. So I'm huge. We have colored pencils in a coloring book right on the kitchen table. So.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So once a month after tea, I send out the recipe that we talked about. I do a fun poll as well. So I send out the results and I send out coloring sheets. So hopefully
nice.
Use them. If not, it's okay. Just went into the abyss.
Well, sometimes it does, but some of it sticks. Okay. You'd be surprised what sticks sometimes. I'm curious. Do you do some sort of like, English accent while you're pouring the tea? Or
no telling what will come out of my mouth at certain points, but some accents. Yes. So right. Yes. I'm having a, direct from China, this kind of gunpowder tea. And the reason it is because
gunpowder tea.
Right. So that it's called that because the way that they roll the steamed leaves and they roll them into little balls that look like, pellets that you would shoot. And so,
oh, really?
Yes, it is a method of tea. So I'm a huge tea snob. So like there's like, tea facts you never wanted to know, that come along with Tea with Kelly. But yes.
There's something to that because, I'm not into the like whole coffee scene, but my son kind of got into it and he's like, it's this, it's that. And can you taste the difference? I'm like, no, it's just coffee to me. Like,
no.
I don't know.
I've got super taste buds. So like, I can tell you if your tea was loose leaf or if it was in a silicone or paper bag, like how you brewed it. Yeah. My taste buds are a little weird. So
I have to ask, is that a blessing or a curse?
Both. Because when you find something you love, you're like, oh, this is such a great experience.
Okay.
They make fun of me in the office. They're like, oh, careful, that ketchup might be too hot for Kelly. So
the ketchup?
Yeah. No, it's really, if I have medium wings, they wait to see my reaction. They're like, four wings in, and I'm like, is anybody else having a hard time? Yeah, they love to make fun of me for it. Yeah. They went to go to this Indian place and they're like, oh yeah, they came back. I couldn't go because I had a meeting at lunch. And they came back and they were like, yeah, you wouldn't survive. I was like, oh, okay. Thanks for telling me.
I don't mind spicy things. My mom used to discipline me anytime I'd talk back to her or something. She'd put hot sauce in my mouth.
Hot sauce.
So for the longest time, I wouldn't eat anything spicy. Like I was probably 22, 23 years old and I was like, nah, it's too spicy for me. But I actually like spicy stuff now. It kind of gives you a little something, but nothing too crazy. Like, I'm not interested in ghost peppers. You know, I'm not snorting wasabi up my nose like I've seen online. Like,
that's so ridiculous. Yeah.
Yeah.
No, we've got someone here who just bit into a ghost pepper, and I was like, your taste buds are dead. They're dead.
Yeah. You're like dead on the inside.
Yes. Yes. So,
not me.
It's fun. Yeah.
Not me for sure. Well, as we round third base here, you know, I always like to kind of close out the show with three do's and a don't. Mm. So as you're thinking about your peers, right, like what, as it, you know, comes to a cultural perspective, like getting a handle on things, like what are three things that they should absolutely be doing today? And one thing they should either stop doing or completely avoid.
Ooh, gotcha. Well, that's just one thing to stop doing. Okay. If you love your culture already, there's always ways to enhance it, and you will get that feedback organically. I do recommend that your culture become an organic living thing. The second one that plays off of that is I do think that, and I've said it earlier, be deliberate about that. Be deliberate about how you protect it, meaning how do you recruit and bring others in from outside? How do you develop policy? If I'm talking to fellow HR folks, how do you take policies away that don't suit it any longer? There's an evolution here. It's not this stagnant thing, culture. It's living, it's breathing, and you need to be true to it, because otherwise fake type of forced culture, like, oh, we're going to be about learning, and then nobody ever gets like advanced. Yeah, that comes out in the wash, and then you failed, right? And then another do, be honest and as transparent as you can. Now, there's a lot of movement around in our HR community, and I think in just especially like white collar arenas, for salary transparency. That's not for everybody, and that's still okay. But what are you willing to share? Salary structure, ranges, bonus potential.
Okay.
Be as transparent as possible, and not just with salary. That was just an example. We have a monthly town hall. We go over, hey, this was a rough quarter. You know, here was our mark. We're just shy of it. And that's what we're basing bonuses off of. Bonuses were at 95% instead of 100 like last quarter, right? That kind of information, factual, logical, consistent. People want to know where the company stands, right? I don't want to be left in the dark. Okay. Yeah. I want to feel important and a part of it. It is.
Yeah.
So I go back to that communication and deliberate culture enhancement all the time. So not to cop out because I already said it, but that's definitely it. And then the don't. There's so much.
Don't do it.
All right, I'll pick an easy one. Don't write policy just because somebody did something and ruined a nice thing. Like, don't do that. Like, that's the more paper that they're not reading, by the way. HR, we got it rough. Okay. Nobody's reading your documentation. Nobody read your email. In fact, they might even have a rule in their email system that files you away, okay?
real life.
Yeah, real life HR. This is the struggle. The struggle is real.
It is real.
Yes. So, you know, just, I don't know. It's not about policies. It's about people. You are the human resources, whatever, director, specialist, manager, human. So keep it that way. These are people. They're not, you know, machines.
No, they're not machines. You know, I when you were talking about like policies and things like that, I think of some of like the laws that still exist out there that don't make any sense. And there's like lists of them. But one that always comes to mind that just is, it makes me laugh. There's a law in Utah that it's illegal to fish from horseback. Like, who would do that in the first place? But why is there a law for it?
Right. Somebody like, that's different. You know, so I grew up in South Florida and we have gators like everywhere, right? Like, so instead of like doing a tornado drill, like you might in the middle of our country, right? Like as a 5-year-old, we did how to get away from an alligator, right?
I have to ask, is the zig and zag like a real thing?
It, you know, if you are not as a 5-year-old, you're going to get eaten. Just take off, right?
Like, just go.
But, you know, kind of juking a little bit, he's just going to lunge at you. So just make sure you're like, you know, out of, you know, lunging space, which is at least 50% of their body is the distance that they can lunge at you. So,
right.
Yeah, they teach you weird things in South Florida. So, yeah.
What do you
yeah,
do if they get you, though? What do you do if they grab onto you? I'll go straight for the eyes. Those,
eyes, anything that you can, like, skin that you can rip up at their jaw corner. That's a shark thing, too.
Yeah.
I do know how to get away from a shark, too.
But yeah, you know, punch surfing, that shark so in the face.
Yeah, that's it. I mean, gills. You got to rip the gills. You got to punch the eye, like, gouge the eyes. Like, yeah.
Ugh,
mostly, like, human self-defense. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, get the gills.
I'm a little gory. Yeah. I actually was hit by a shark one time in deep water.
No.
Yes. And you know some cartoons where, like, you see them run on water and they're just a puff of smoke? That's real. It happens when a shark nudges you because they don't like humans normally. Or maybe that one just ate. And so they hit you to kind of see what you do. Like, should I eat you? Are you a threat? Are you alive?
Yeah.
And their skin is very rough, and they have these tiny, tiny teeth on it. And it looked like I slid into second base. I mean, it was
rough. This is why I don't get in the water.
Are you one of those? My husband's one of those. He's like 360 degree attack radius. No.
Yeah. Like, they come from everywhere you can't see.
Right.
And, you know, in North Carolina, I'm not afraid of the water per se. But, you know, the problem with, like, waters off North Carolina in some places, like, you can't see. It's murky, and they can't see either. So you look delicious until they bite you, and then they're like, "Eh, that's not what I was thinking it was."
That's usually what happens, but by that point, it's probably too late, and you hope they.
Yeah. Meanwhile, I'm missing a leg.
Yeah.
You know, or whatever.
Yes. Yeah, so it's a real thing.
Yeah. So coming from Florida, I mean, you're used to it. Yeah. Would you? Oh, geez.
I don't know why.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I'm not afraid of a biscuit can, but I am afraid of sharks. And it sounds like you might be tougher than me. I'll just be honest with you.
I think that might be a definition of insanity, but I'm not sure. So
I want to thank you so much for coming on the show, Kelly. This was a lot of fun. I always like to ask, where can people find you? I am you, chat, follow, flatter, or even heckle you?
Yeah, sure. If you could be an original heckler, that's really interesting. Being 5 feet tall, if you say, oh, hey, shorty, I'm like, yeah, I never heard that before. If you come up with something creative, that's fun. So LinkedIn is probably the best way. I do, you know, I'm on there quite frequently, as I know you are. I do your polls when they pertain to me, and I can be helpful. I think that's the best way to find me. Try on solutions. I mean, I see anything marketing, you know, team knows that, hey, look, we've got this interest or anything like that. Our team is amazing, very creative, subtle. Doesn't hit, you know, flood you with too much. So I'd say follow Try On Solutions too, because I'm definitely one of the main posting folks on that regard. I'm around. I think that's the best way.
Around. Sometimes that's good enough. Like, you can find her for sure. Well, this has been fun. And I know you haven't done a million of these, but I'm so appreciative that you came on here and jumped on and shared your experiences and some of your strategies and thoughts, because I really do. I mean, I think you've got a great culture thing going on there. You know what bad looks like, so that probably helps.
It does. You know, if you can learn that pretty early, then life gets a little simpler and you won't go chasing that, you know, money bags carrot every single time. So, yeah.
Well, awesome. So. Well, if you liked Kelly, and I know you did, make sure you boop the like button and subscribe for more. You know, maybe we'll circle back before too long and we'll do another session like this.
Would love it. Thank you for having me.
All right. And thanks for coming on and listening to What the Tech podcast. All right. Take care.